All right. Good morning, church. I know John said we won't do it again, but Happy New Year. Yeah, there we go. Sorry. Just disunity already in the new year. No, I'm really, it's great to see everybody. And it's such a beautiful morning. I know it started off a bit chilly, but now the sun is out and, you know, it's a bright future ahead, right? No, we're not into signs like that. But it is a beautiful morning, and in all honesty, I am looking forward to seeing where God takes us in this new year. I know many of us know that these past few years have been very difficult for, I mean, individually very difficult, but even as a church, have been really tough. Many lessons learned, many mistakes made. But we thank and praise God for his faithfulness to us through it all. I'm so glad that we serve a God who allows us growth and doesn't just, you know, pin our failures on us, right? No, he allows us to grow, to learn from our mistakes, to be able to learn, grow, to become more like Jesus. I praise him. I praise him. And, you know, it is New Year, and, you know, a lot of times, again, as John said, a lot of people like to set New Year's resolutions, right, don't they? And no matter whether you call them resolutions or for the sake of it, we'll call them goals, yeah? Is that all right? Goals? People love to set goals. And, you know, it's New Year, new me, whatever, I want to set goals, and however, when we set goals, I think oftentimes we can fall into a few traps. You see, when we look at trying to change ourselves or whatever your view is on resolutions or looking into the new year, you go, okay, it's a new me. I want to make goals. I want to change myself. I want to do better than I did last year and whatever that might be. But a couple of traps that we fall into is, and something that I hope that we could learn or lean into as we move forward into this year, and the first one being that oftentimes we underestimate God. I think a lot of times we underestimate God. A lot of times we don't even take our goals to God in prayer, right? How often do we pray through our goals? Right, I think a lot of times when we set our goals, they might be revolving. They don't necessarily revolve around our faith or spirituality. A lot of times, majority of the times, it might be physical health, isn't it? Physical goals. I want to run more. I want to get into shape. I want to whatever. I want to eat better. I want to, you know, it's a lot of physical stuff, right? Or maybe it is emotional or mental health. You know, I want to. I want to spend more time for me. I want to spend more time with my family. I want to do things that allow me to take care of myself. And even in a lot of these, we might think, oh, God is too big to take my goals to him, right? These are all superficial things. I don't need to take it to God, but I think that's a trap. Because not only are we underestimating the power of God in our lives, but we also overestimate our willpower. And I'm sure each and every one of us in this room can attest to the weakness of our willpower, right? Whether it's, trying to eat less chocolate or whatever it might be, it's so quick to fail. But I think if we go to God with our goals, And we pray through them, and we say, God, you know, even if it's this small task or goal that I want to accomplish, even if it's something as I might think as silly as not eating as much takeout or whatever it is, God, I bring that to you. Help me redeem this. Is this just selfishly something for me, or is there a greater purpose to this? God, can you help me to understand? Is this goal simply just to not eat more or get better here or there? Or is it simply, or can it be more than that? Don't underestimate what God can do through you in your goals that you set. Last week, we talked about Psalm 103. And in our home group this past Friday, we jumped into that psalm again. And we talked about Psalm 103, and there's a section that I really wasn't able to get into last week. But what we really focused on was the eternity of God, right? And we sang a little bit about that this morning as well. But we looked at the eternity of God, the creator of the universe. But in Psalm 103, David is saying, yeah, God of the universe, and who are we? We are dust. We are plants that wither and die, and the wind blows over, and we are erased. And again, a lot of times we think God is too big for this. But the beauty of it is God, although yes, he is infinite, yes, he is all-powerful, yes, he is glorious and great, even then, even so, he comes into our circumstance. He comes into our lives. He works within our prayers. He works within our lives. Don't underestimate God. And I think the second thing that we tend to do is we go at it alone, right? When we set our goals, we go, these are my goals. I'm going to do them. And some of us might not want to share them because when we inevitably fail at them, we don't want other people to, you know, say, oh, you said this, you said that, you weren't going to do this, you weren't going to do that. And so I think a lot of times we might hold it to ourselves. We might want to go at it alone. And although self-control and willpower are important things, I mean, obviously, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we do gain self-control. Self-control and willpower isn't everything. It's not everything. You need community. Back when I was in high school, I used to play lacrosse, and there were days in which we had to train. We'd have hours and hours of conditioning where we'd be sprinting down our school corridors and back and forth. We'd be running miles. We'd be doing, I don't know what you guys call it here, where they blow the whistle and you have to run there and back. Then you have to run further and back. What do you guys call that here? Bleep test. Yeah. Americans call it something that's not very good. But anyways, it's a bleep test, right? And we had to do these things. When I was training, we used to call ours a miracle mile because we would do the bleep test for the exact distance of a mile. And so we would have to keep going. We would keep pushing. And each and every one of us, we trained through the off season. We kept fit. We stay hydrated. We did everything that we needed to do. We would just run. And so all of us had pretty strong wills. But I mean, we're going back and forth, and this whistle, my coach is like, no, you guys aren't doing it fast enough. You know, if the defenders are coming, running it too slow, and we're not running it fast enough, you know, he broke us. And if we stayed on our own willpower and just going, oh, I can do this, you realize that you start failing. But when the team comes together and goes, no, we won't stop until the last person crosses the line, or we won't, you know, and the whole team comes together, starts encouraging one another, the ability to get through that test was amazing. It was a powerful thing to see the group come together. We see in Proverbs 27, iron sharpens iron. We see Hebrews 10:24 talk about how we ought to spur each other on to love and good deeds. I think a lot of times we want to go it alone, but I encourage you, don't. So if you're making goals, share them. Allow people in to help keep you accountable, to encourage you in completing those things. And one of the last traps that we'll go over this morning, one of the last traps that we fall into is we lose hope. We give up, right? What's the point? It's easy to give up, right? You start at the beginning of the year going, okay, I'm going to do this, right? Let's take eating chocolate, for example. It's like, okay, I'm going to be good this year. I'm not going to eat chocolate. I'm just, or at least limited. I'm going to do my best, right? And a week into it, oh, is that an amen in the back? But you get started, right? And you're going through it, and you're doing well, right? And let's say you hit week two, and you're just like, okay, good. And then just out of habit, you might just, you go, oh, no. Oh, well, I guess I'll try again. But then you try again, and then it happens. And then you get into the cycle where you go, oh, what's the point, right? So by February, you're done. You're just back to eating chocolate. Similarly, I mean, in my case, Livy and I, we celebrated our 9-year anniversary this past week. And earlier this year, Livy had run a half marathon. And so in support, I said, oh, for our 10-year anniversary, I'll run a marathon with her, right? I don't know what I was thinking. Love makes you do ridiculous things. But I said, oh, I'm gonna run a marathon with her. We'll make it this 10-year thing. And as it turns out, now, well, I got a year to train, and here we go. There's no backing out, is there? And now I've shared that with you, so please do keep me accountable, okay? But someone has already asked me, well, have you started training? Have you started running? And I told them no, because I'm waiting for my plan is I'm gonna get back into swimming, get into cycling, and then when the weather gets better, I'm gonna start my running and stuff like that. That's my plan, all right? But I said, I'm gonna wait a couple weeks until everybody who set the resolution of swimming every day stops, so that the pools aren't packed, right? So I'm banking on other people's failures to then start my own. But again, we lose hope, right? We lose hope, and it's easy, and it's easily done. It's easily done. And we say, what's the point? And so again, when we set these goals, and yeah, we underestimate God, we want to do it alone, and it's easy to lose hope. But what does this all have to do with today's reading, right? What does this have to do with today's reading? How does this connect with us? How does this story connect with us today? And it's funny, because when I read this story, it's interesting, right? Because we have Israel entering into this promised land, right? The generation before them, they lost hope in God. They underestimated God. They did what they wanted. They lost hope. And so they disqualified themselves from going into the promised land. But now, finally, it's time where Israel gets to go into the promised land, the land filled with milk and honey, the land that is abundant, the land that every spy said is beautiful. There's this bright hope, right? If you're looking at it as just simply a narrative, there's a hope now. You go, hopefully they've learned their lesson, right? They've learned their lesson. They believe in God. They're going in full assurance and faith and obedience to God. And you're going, man, now they can fulfill their part of their covenant with God and bless the nations through all that God has given them. Sadly, the story doesn't end here, and the story continues on. And we see that generation after generation, they underestimate God. They lose sight of God. They turn away from God. Often we see that they, even they go at it alone. That there's the unity as tribes of Israel break apart. They end up in civil wars. They end up destroying the very land that God had given them. The land that they were supposed to use to bless the nations is destroyed. Rather than being generous with the things that God has given them, they hoard it to themselves, and there's this idea of selfishness, and you know, where kings are supposed to bring peace, there's war and strife and conflict, corruption and slavery and all of these things. And they lose hope. They constantly lose hope in God. They constantly turn away. But like I said this morning, I praise God that He gives us opportunities for growth. I praise God that the story didn't end there. I praise God that our stories don't end when we fail. We know that as the story continues, after a long history of ups and downs and times of abundance and times of poverty, even in times of exile, we see God's faithfulness. Ultimately, to the point in which God gives His own Son, the promised Messiah, the promised King, to save His people, to redeem them, to bring them life. It's easy to look at Israel and go, look at all the wrong things they've done, right? Look at how many times they've messed up. And a lot of times I think, I find myself doing this often as well, going, man, how could they do that? They saw all of these miraculous things. How can they do that? Yet, I look at myself in the mirror and I just go, well, I've seen miraculous things. not in signs and wonders. I've seen signs and wonders, but I've also seen amazing things done in the quiet and in the small. And yet, how many times do I forget about God's goodness? How many times do I turn away from God? How many times do I still want to go at it alone? How many times do I lose hope? But for all of Israel's failures in the Bible and what we read through this story and through the rest of the Old Testament, there are so many positives that we can learn. And so even in this story, we look that these priests, right? For example, these priests, they got to take a step of faith, right? Has anyone here been to Israel? Has anyone been to the Jordan River? Anyone? Yeah. It's not a dinky thing, is it? No. But that's probably just on a good day. But during flood season, that's something else. One of my favorite activities back home in Colorado is whitewater rafting. And when it's flood season, you don't want to go whitewater rafting because you're not going to survive. The waves are crashing. The noise is unbearable. You cannot, no matter how many people are in your raft, you cannot control the power of the waves. And God is asking Israel, cross it. But more importantly, more specifically, he's asking these priests, walk into this. And these priests, they do take the step of faith. They have the Ark of the Covenant with them. They have faith in God. Even though they can see the turbulence before them, they take that step of faith. Even though God is asking them to do something that they might seem is outrageous, ridiculous. But they enter it in faith. Whatever God calls you to this year, take that step of faith. No matter how outrageous it might seem, no matter how difficult your circumstance might be, if you feel like God is calling you to do something, whether that's talk to your neighbor about Jesus, whether it's about inviting some colleagues over to your house for a meal, whether it's helping out your community I'm used to talking to youth, so the example that came up was like picking up rubbish and stuff like that. But hey, if that's what your community needs, then go for it. But you know, whatever God is calling you to do, even no matter how difficult it might seem to you, have faith that God's got your back. Because he will do amazing things through your faithfulness. He will do an amazing work through your faithfulness. Something else that we can learn from Israel, and especially in this story, is let what God has done in our past shape how we look towards the future. Let it shape the hope that we have for the future. You see, this miraculous thing that God has done by stopping the waters of the Jordan, so Israel can cross into the finish line into the promised land. This is a direct picture to what he did when he delivered Israel out of slavery from Egypt. By opening the Red Sea, God delivered Israel from slavery. By stopping the Jordan, he brought Israel out of wilderness into rest, into the promised land. And through the death, the life, and the resurrection of his son Jesus Christ, he's delivered us from our slavery to sin and death. He's brought us out of the pit and brought us into life, brought us into reconciliation with him. And we also see that what God encourages Israel to do is to remember what God has done. And so as you move forward, and as we can see hindsight, as Israel moved forward, what they should have done, they should have remembered what God had done so that they could be fully obedient to him to bless the nations. so that they could show people the way that life ought to be lived, so that they could show God's greatness and his love and his mercy for all peoples. And lastly, we can learn about how to go about this journey, walk life together with the next generation. We see in this story, in this narrative, that they are encouraged to take up these stones and place them at the site that they cross, so that when the generations to come asked, "What are these stones about?" that everybody would be able to say, "These stones are when God did an amazing thing. God did an amazing thing here." A lot of us in here in this room, like I shared last year, have great experiences and an incredibly intimate relationship with Jesus after all these years you've spent with him. You have story after story. You have encouragement after encouragement, grace after grace, mercy after mercy, that you can share on with those who are of the next generation, so that they don't lose hope, so that they don't lose faith, so that they don't go at it alone, so that they don't underestimate God's power in their lives. I encourage everyone in here this morning to really take this in. No matter what it is, if you're setting goals or whatever, or looking ahead into this new year, I really want to encourage you, never underestimate God's power in your life or in the things that you do. Don't ever go at it alone. The next series that we're going through is called Journeying Together. And I know in here we're talking about the next generation, but what I want to really get across in our teaching in this next series is that as we journey together, it's not just about what we give to the next generation. No, it's that everybody in this room, no matter what age you are, can journey together. No matter what society says about our older brothers and sisters, we don't believe that in here. Everybody here has gifts. Everybody in here has things that they can give to our church as we journey together. We look not just to the next generation, but we look to the guidance from our previous to our older generations, from those who have the experience, who have those stories that they can share with us to encourage us as we move forward. Don't underestimate God's power in your life. Don't go at it alone. And don't lose hope. Join with me in a word of prayer. Lord, we look to Israel in this story, and we can see. We can see the hope, and we can see the bright day that could have been if they had only remembered you, if they had only been faithful and obedient to you, if they had only not lost sight, only if they stayed united. Lord, we look at them and we can easily judge them. But Lord, I pray that as we move forward, not just in our own lives, but as a church, may we never underestimate your power. May we never try to go at things alone. May we never lose hope, especially because of the work, the finished work of your Son, Jesus Christ, in our lives. Lord, once again, I just have to praise you for opportunities of growth where we can just, even when we fail, it's not the end. When we mess up, it's not the end. There's always room for growth. There's always room to move forward. There's always grace. There's always mercy. Lord, we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.